In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Today is the 29th month of the Coptic month, and as we just heard in the Synaxarium, in every 29th of the Coptic month, we celebrate three occasions. The Feast of the Annunciation that took place in the 29th of the month of Barmahat, and the Nativity of the Lord that took place on the 29th of the Coptic month of Kehk, and also the Feast of the Resurrection that took place on the 29th of the month of Barmahat as well. So today we commemorate three occasions, and that's why the reading of the Gospel that we just heard was about the Annunciation of the Lord, of the coming of the Messiah, and the incarnation of the Son of God through the Virgin Saint Mary. And of course there are many lessons and many things we can reflect upon on this reading, but today I want to focus on something related to this honor that was given to Saint Mary and how she handled it. Not only this part, but also answering a bigger question. Every change that happens to us, every news that we hear every day that's handed to us from God is a test. And that's why we are every day we are answering questions and we are giving input back to God about the subject that we are created for, the theme of our life, the question that we will keep on answering till the last day: where do you want to spend your eternity? Of course, anyone can answer this automatically, definitely, I don't want to go to hell. Sometimes this is even like the desire. I am not really looking up to heaven, but I don't want to go to hell. This is the bottom line. The most difficult part is that to know really where we are heading. We have an impression about ourselves, and this impression most of the time is not accurate. We do not want to come to the last day and we face this dreadful answer that I never knew you. And we keep saying to him, we prayed, we went to the liturgies many times, we fasted occasionally, and we did this and this and this. Those people were not aware of themselves. Maybe they did not spend time or invest in trying to know whom truly they are. The answer to this question depends on the results of four other questions or status. The first status is, where is your heart? Where is your heart? If your heart is in heaven, when you leave this earth, you just continue to be where your heart is. This is where your treasure, all of your investment. The second point that we should be answering is, whom do you look like? When people deal with you, how they think of you? Are you more Christ-like, or God forbid, you look like his enemy? Sometimes maybe people have a better idea about whom we are than us. The third result is, am I a faithful or a faithless person? Am I a man of faith? I live by faith, or faith is something that I entertain mentally, I maybe utter it with my tongue, but when it comes to reality, I act like a person who have no faith. I just look like other people who never believed in God and never acknowledge his presence. The fourth result depends on, how will you handle others? If you, at the end, me and you want to share eternity with others, if I live here in struggle and strife and conflict, I am wrathful against others, I'm angry with them, I'm complaining often, and this is what I'm doing from day to day, then I don't think eternity, spending it with people, will be a good place. Definitely, the answer will be simply, if you could not handle others well here, if you do not love them enough, why are you going to spend eternity with them? We are not going definitely to fight in heaven, and we are not going to avoid each other, or like, I avoid this person, I don't want to see him. This has no place in eternity, and everything starts from here. In order for us to know about these things, there are questions. And these questions that God gives to us every day to help us to know where we are, where we stand. What if God allows us that we see the scoring sheet for each one of us today? What is the results? If it's open today, if life come to an end today, what will look like tomorrow, where we are going to be heading to? We today will try to answer some questions that are going to help us to see where we are, where we stand, what is the status of our hearts. These questions is, how do you handle gifts and honor? Second question, who are you when you are not watched by others? The third question is, how do you handle mistreatment when people are not good, kind to you? The fourth one, how do you react to no from God when you ask for something and not granted? The fifth, how do you react to the needs of others around you? The sixth question, how are you handling your talents so far? God gave all of us talents. How are we in terms of the trade? The seventh, what do you choose between commandments versus opportunities or needs? Typically, when you have this option, what typically you pick from these? And the eighth question is, what do you typically trade in and out every day? These questions are there to help each one of us to know whom truly he is. The most difficult part is the diagnosis, that I know that I have an illness, I have a problem, because many times, many of us are just walking in this life, not knowing whom they are. And unfortunately, eternity will be a surprise, and hopefully it's not going to be a bad one. After the diagnosis comes the treatment. Then, okay, I knew that I have a problem, what next? The first question that we should be answering ourselves, how do we handle gifts and honor? Many people, when God gives them something, they change in a positive way. They acknowledge it, and they live with this gift thankful at all times. Sometimes people are not aware even that God granted them anything. Nothing is enough, and nothing is really triggering them to thank God. They don't even think that this is a gift, this is an honor, that we don't deserve it. The best example today of how people should handle gift and honor is Saint Mary. When she heard the news that she is going to be the mother of God, she submitted, she said, I am the maidservant, good, and then what? Immediately, if you continue reading the same chapter in Gospel of Saint Luke, you see her running to serve Saint Elizabeth. Service is part of her. This is not going to change if I am just a simple girl living in the temple, or even if I am the mother of God. Many times people, when they receive honor, they take it to themselves. It is me. And accordingly, this is going to change how I act, how I deal with others, and maybe thinking that maybe others should serve me, should come to acknowledge the gift, the honor that I was given. Another good example of how people receive honor was King Solomon, when God appeared to him in a dream and told him, ask whatever I will give to you. Let me ask all of us today, what if this happened to you and me? If God appeared to me in a dream and say, I will give you whatever you want, what truly am I going to ask? King Solomon handled this honor in a wonderful way. First, he did not rush to ask for anything. He gave thanks to God. And then he told him, I am a little boy, does not understand where to go and what to do. And thirdly, he said, what I'm going to ask from you, O God, has something to do with the people around me. And then he asked God to give him wisdom and understanding heart so I can discern between what is good and what is evil. Look how this man handled honor, how he did not rush with his tongue just to ask, but he made sure to ask, to thank God and humble himself. Another example, but this one actually is a negative one. King Saul. God took this man and made him king over Israel. What happened to King Saul? How did he change? He changed it in a way that's negative. He felt like this honor should be secured by my own hand. No one should compete with me. No one should even come closer to the kingdom that was granted to me and my children. And he changed it and he became envious of David. He went running and chasing him all of the book of 1 Samuel. The honor given to him changed him from being this simple person who was good at the beginning into this evil person full of envy and hatred to others around him. He felt like others are maybe competing with me and I should secure my gifts. It is mine, no one should touch it, forgetting that God is the one who bestowed upon him. Another negative example is the rich fool that we hear about his story in the Gospel of St. Luke. When God granted this man money and wealth, instead of thinking, how am I going to distribute this? How am I going to reward those people who worked with me? How am I going to be a better person because of the gift given to me? What he thought in himself, how to make a bigger store places. How to hide this and maybe making like bigger houses and buying more stuff for himself. It was very selfish. It was given to him as a test. Every gift you receive, every honor God bestows upon you and me is a test. How do you handle this? What do you do with it? This will show where your heart is. And by this we can know where are we heading. The second question that we should be today asking ourselves to know where we are is, who are you when you are not watched by others? We all can come to the church and behave in an acceptable way. Maybe when we are in our workplace, maybe we try to keep an image that people will respect. Maybe in our families, maybe we try to keep some kind of an image that showing that we are faithful to this family or whatever we want to display. But whom truly we are when no one of these people are watching. The good example is Joseph the righteous, the son of Jacob. He was in Egypt, away from his country. And also, there is no temple over there. No one teach him what is right and what is wrong. He was in his workplace in the palace of Potiphar. And he was a woman that is his mistress. And she was seducing him. And even though no one was watching, he still thought of himself, I am in the presence of God. And Joseph chose whom truly he is. There is no way I can do this. Watch it or not, being like under the spot or even being in a corner, it does not change. This is whom truly Joseph is. If you want to know whom truly you are, ask yourself, what do you do when you close the door of your room after yourself at the end of the day? What do you do? What is your interest? Where truly you spend your time? Another good parameter that can help us to see whom truly we are, what your immediate family say about you. Sometimes we are perceived, especially in the church community, as loving servants, people who are sacrificing and are giving abundantly. But maybe if you ask the people living with you in the same house, they will have a different input. They will say something differently about you. Most of the time, the masks are off at home. We are whom we are because we don't care much about the opinion of those who live with us, unless maybe you are a teenage. Then you try to display an image before your parents so you don't get in trouble with them. But when we are adults, husband or wife, we are whom we are. What they would say about you? What they would write in a letter to God saying, this is the husband that I am living with. This is the wife that I am living with. The third question that should help us to know whom we are, how do you handle mistreatment? When people say something that's not nice or deal with you unkindly. Yes, many times we fail this test, but how far we fail, how much really we deal with others in a way when we are mistreated, as if like we never heard about Christ or knew him. Look at St. Paul's reaction and response When he entered the city of Lystra and was stoned, imagine, he went to preach to the people in the city. The city, the people did not like what he was saying. They stoned him, aiming at killing him. Then we read in the story that he left the city. He was taken by his friends and disciples. They thought of him as a dead man. And then next day, what happened? He became well. He went to the city and preached again. How this man was doing this. But this is whom we should be. It's not something that we should be discouraged when people are not receiving us well. It's not something that should throw us into despair that I have been trying with those people and they are not kind to me. None of us was stoned before. Why we give ourselves excuse that I will never deal with those people? This is the end of the story because they are not dealing with me nicely. Even our families and the people who are closest to us, many times we grumble against them. They don't appreciate us. They don't deal with us as we deserve. We have been doing so and so and have been kind to my children and they don't ask about me. They don't deal with me nicely and all of this kind of stuff. Look at St. Paul when he faced the same situation with the Corinthians. He preached to them, told them about Christ, brought them to the knowledge of the truth. And then at the end, what was his reward? They were doubting if he was truly an apostle. He loved them so much, and in return, they doubted him. How he answered, maybe this is something we can measure ourselves against. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for your souls, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I am loved. The more abundantly I love you, the less I am loved. Let it be. I will even live with it. I will still love you and do what I need to do with you. The fourth question that can show us today ourselves, how do you react to no from God? We can say that if God says no, of course I understand his wisdom, I agree with it, it is acceptable, and this is not going to be the end of the story. But in many occasions, no means you don't like me. We do the same, by the way, with ourselves. Sometimes, maybe the case with your family, you tell one of your children no, and then this is the end of the world. You assume that you did a lot to your son or daughter that made them to trust you when you say no, but at the end, they don't receive it well. Maybe we do the same with our Heavenly Father also. Whenever there is no, then this is the end of the relationship. Or at least, I'm not going to talk with you for some time simply because you don't like me. No means you don't like me. Unfortunately, many people interpret it this way. When God told Moses, you are not going to go to the promised land, this is the end. No discussion. He told him, even don't bring this subject to me again and talk with me about it. Moses never stopped to love God and never ceased to serve the people. He did not grumble and say, you are the reason, pointing to the Israelites, you made this problem to me, I have nothing to do with you, you are on your own. This didn't happen. He kept on trying faithfully to lead them. Even before his departure, he cared to ask God, can you appoint a man for those people to take care of them? Why do you care? Because he's a faithful person. This is an example of faithfulness. Another good example is the perseverance of the Canaanite woman. She heard no once and twice, thrice. She kept on asking and asking, heal my daughter. He told her first, no, he gave her no response. Secondly, I am just sent to the people, the children of Israel. And the third time, it is not good to take the bread of the sons and throw it to dogs. Even the answer was insulting. She did not give up. She trusted him and loved him, and she kept on asking and asking. We are all have something to ask from God. Maybe I'm asking for something good, that God would change me, make me a better person. Maybe this not granted yet. It's not a cause for us to stop praying or to feel disappointed or saying, I will just go on my life. God is not listening to me. St. Paul was sick. He has a problem. Some people say that his eyesight was not good. He asked for it. God told him no. How was his reaction? I'm not going to talk with you anymore. I am not your apostle. No. He went preaching, continued his struggle, completed his strife to the end. No, did not change anything in the relationship between him and God, whom he trusted and loved. The fifth question that can serve as a mirror to show us and answer the question about where are we heading? How do you react to the needs of others around you? Are you a selfless person or are you a selfish person? We all can write, definitely, I am the most selfless person on the face of the earth. My life is just to serve others. This is my impression, but maybe this is not truly whom I am. Saint Mary, when she heard from the angel that Elizabeth was pregnant, the translation of this news to her was run and serve. How many times we hear often about people are in need around us? Maybe those people are the closest to us. Let me give you maybe a more practical example. How do you react when you know that your father-in-law or mother-in-law, they are in need of help, and you are the only one who can accommodate them? Is the answer, it is not my responsibility? Why should I bother? This is somebody else has to take care of it. Or do you run and feel like this is a test? God is giving this news for me today because he wants me to do something. Many times we hear news about needs. Many times we see the need even in the eyes of the people around us, your immediate family. Your wife has a need. Your husband has a need. And sometimes we just overlook it. We ignore it. We don't care about it. This tells us about really where is my heart? How we are going to escape God's judgment when we ignore the call of others around us. The rich man, in the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, he has a sick person laid at the door of his house. He didn't have to go and search for this man. The man was in front of him. What did he do about him? Nothing. Nothing at all. And then what happened? His life ended, and then we knew where his destination was. He was thrown in hell. How we react to others around us? Is it all about me and my family and my children? Is what we do truly is for serving others, or even serving others for the sake of maybe getting something from them? Their praise, acknowledgement, my self-worth. A question that can tell us truly whom we are. How do you react to the needs of others around you? If you shut your ears, God will shut his ears to your prayers. The sixth question, how are you handling your talents so far? God gave you your health, give you the knowledge of the truth, give you a church to worship in, give you a family, maybe he gave you some wealth, he gave you children. How do you deal with all of these? How are you doing with these? In the parable of the talents, we see people took it and traded it. I was a single person. I married. I have children. I brought all of them to the knowledge of God. Instead of me being one person knew God, we had 3 or 4 or 5 people now added to the kingdom. On the other hand, I married a person who was so godly. She was in the church, she was serving. And then I disrupted her life. I destroyed the family. I dispersed them because of how I am dealing with myself and others. How are we going to be judged according to this? Nehemiah came to a scattered people in Egypt. They were nobody, have no morals, have no motive to live, nothing. He gathered them, made them something. He brought them to become the new Israel or the new people who worshiped a new God. On the contrary, Jeroboam, the son, the son of Solomon, came to one kingdom, was one of the strongest at that time. What did he do? He made a division into it. He was given a talent, he dispersed it. Nehemiah was given nothing, he made something out of it. How do you deal with your talents? How is the balance so far? The seventh question, How do you choose between commandments versus opportunities or needs? David, he has an opportunity to kill Saul. The commandment says, don't kill. So what will be the response? I'm not going to kill him. Daniel has a choice to eat whatever, because there is an opportunity to work in the palace of the king. The commandments say, you should not defile yourself with eating what is unlawful. The response, I'm not going to eat. The widow has a commandment to give. I only have 2 mites and I have no husband. The response is, I will still give. We can look at this and we compare it to ourselves. I am during the fasting time and I'm going out. Some people invited us and we went to a restaurant. I didn't like the fasting menu. There was nothing good. Then I broke the fast. I just ate anything. So what? Then how we choose? Are we choosing this way? Is it according to, if there is an opportunity, I will break the commandment? If there is nothing really that's pushing me, I will just keep the commandment? Something for us to ask ourselves. The last question, what do you typically trade in and out? Every day we do this kind of trades. I trade in something, I trade out something. I take something, I give something back. Abraham has a conflict, or his shepherds have a conflict with the shepherds of Lot. What is the solution? I will trade in peace with my nephew. I will trade out the land. Take the land, give the peace. How many of us make this trade? As I said before, sometimes we trade out the piece of the house, maybe because of a meal that I didn't like, a food that was not cooked right, just for any reason. There is no problem of trading out the piece of the house for whatever reason. St. Paul, he was a Pharisee. He was a reputable person who has some kind of honor. He traded all of this out. He traded in the knowledge of Christ. It's enough for me. Every day we make choice between Jesus and Barabbas. Yes, it is like as I'm saying it. Whom do you typically choose to side with? You side with Jesus, with Christ, or you side with Barabbas? You choose to do what he asked you to do, or no, I'm going to do it the other way as the world is teaching me. So today this example of St. Mary is an example of a test. Honor is given to you. How do you mean to handle it? She handled it very well in an exemplary way. The question is for all of us every day. How are we answering the tests? What are we doing in our lives? How can we come to know whom we are? After we know, then comes the therapy. This might be something we discussed in another sermon. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.